Rocker Papa. You will have your traditional stories, and it might not be way back, it might be more recent, where you've got examples of this relationship and reciprocity of working together as tuakana taina and the responsibilities that go with it. We talk about relationship, and that this concept is importantly based on relationship. Now, one of the things about relationship that people talk about, and it's actually in the guide in terms of the PYD, in terms of the principles, and I love seeing this when I was reading through the guide, said that philosophically that the principles are based on the idea that there is potential, that there are the inherent skills in everybody. And in all of our youth, what we need to do is we need to find the way and create the environment to realise that potential. In Māori, we say he pito mata. Even though it might be small, it is the flint of the obsidian, which means that it has a huge amount of potential. And the thing that we have to do is actually find the relationship and create a relationship that you can use to bring that potential out, to create an environment that allows it to grow. Importantly, though, about relationship and creating that environment, you have to know the person you're working with. You have to understand where they come from. You have to know what drives them. You can't just, with all the good intent in the world, you can be the bestest person. You can have the most wonderful intent, but if you don't know how to connect to that person, then actually it's going to be fruitless. It's a nice whakaaro, it's a nice idea, but you need to know the person that you're working with in order to create a positive relationship. For that pito mata to be able to be nourished and grow, you have to understand them. And that also means understanding their background, where they've come from, recently, but also historically. Now, I think of relationship and understanding and that fundamental core of relationship as being mana. So mana is a word that's in our New Zealand English dictionary now. It's everywhere. But it's sometimes underused because we don't see the full depth of this concept of mana. And when I think of mana and understanding the person that you're working with, the youth that you're working with, I think about three aspects of mana. Mana atua, their spiritual mana. That's not just about their beliefs, their belief systems and the things in terms of what they believe in spiritually. It's also how they are emotionally, how their wairua is. And so understanding the person that you're working with and understanding from a mana atua perspective means that you can acknowledge that spirituality, but actually acknowledge also that wairua, the taha wairua of the person. And it means that you can be in tune with them in terms of that relationship, that you can link to them and support them through that. So from mana atua, we get mana tupuna, and these are the things that I just showed before with, I had my tupuna Aoraki Mountain. Don't ask me how we're related to the mountain, but you know, it's just next level. But the mana tupuna is, what's tupuna? How te tika ko te tupuna?
Ancestor.
So your mana tupuna is the inherent mana that you have. It's how you've been created and been brought into this world. So from our mana atua, we get mana tupuna, this ancestral mana. Now that is huge. That's about recognizing the culture and the identity of people. When you're wanting to establish a relationship, understanding that it matters that you know about their culture, that it matters that you're respectful of their heritage, of their language. Even if they have been disconnected from that language and culture, that doesn't matter. It's the fact that you are respectful of it and you acknowledge it as an important part of who they are inherently. When you've established this mana atua, this mana tupuna, then that pito mata is ready to grow. That potential is ready to be nurtured because you're not just, that's about the mana takata, mana tangata, sorry, I've got to remember, mana tangata, and that's about your mana as a person, who you are now. It's about your actions and your activities. It's what you do. And sometimes we want to jump in straight to the behaviours. We want to get into talking about, oh, the way you do this is wrong, or you should do this instead, without even acknowledging actually where these people have come from, what environment they've been in, what is their whakapapa, what are the things that are innate within them, those skills that are talked about within the pedagogy here, that are in every individual. If you can do that, if you can draw on those things, you've got the ability to establish a proper relationship, a relationship which has the ability to grow something really special. And I say this because, you know, it's like the seeds. I'm going to get all metaphorical now. When we talk about a kākano, he kākano I ruia mai I raki a te. E kore au e karo, he kākano I ruia mai I raki a te. I will never be lost, for I am a seed that is sown in raki a te. That's talking about that mana tupuna, that mana takata as well. But when we talk about a seed, and with the potential of growing a seed, people can want, you can have the best intention and want to just put that water on it and put it in the sun, but unless you know what the environment that seed needs to grow, it might be completely the wrong strategy to support that seed. You might be showering it with love and water and you drown it. You might be putting it in the sun and it gets burned. Every seed is different. Every individual is different, and you need to understand, by understanding who they are and their culture and their experiences, what environment, what soil is going to be required, what sunlight is going to be required if you want that seed to grow. And too often we say, one box fits all. You know, we say, this is the way it's done, this is the model we use, and it doesn't work. Why doesn't it work? Nga te mea he rere ki ka kākano. Because the seeds are different. What we need to understand, and when Nathan's talking about the role of mentoring and the role of that relationship, is that actually, at the essence, he kahere I ia kākano. There's actually a forest in every seed. And that's about that reciprocity in the next generation. That if you can link and create a positive relationship with an individual, know who they are, understand what's required to create the perfect environment for that person to grow and that person to nourish, then they will become the tree of a million seeds that can go out and create the next generation of mentors, the next generation of people who know how to model, know how to support others, know how to nurture.
A lot of those people that you will be supporting and the mental support are detached from their culture. So I was working in Australia recently with a foster parents, and they have lots of Aboriginal children in foster care. And I remember feeling really sad looking at this family, who are these wonderful foster parents who have got the best intentions and want to give these kids a wonderful upbringing. But whenever we went on a family trip and they went to Ayers Rock. And so whenever we referred to it as, what's the real name of Ayers Rock? Uluru? Rock? Basically Uluru, these people had refused to call it its original name and has basically had an attitude of, oh, don't be pathetic, it's been called Ayers Rock for the last 50 years. But you could see the downcast look on these little Aboriginal boys' faces, that these people are being wonderful foster parents providing food and shelter, but they're reinforcing a message that the kid's supposed to be somehow ashamed of his culture. If they had simply stepped out of their comfort zone and stopped saying Ayers Rock and used the original Aboriginal word, that would have shown those boys that their culture was valued. Whereas they live in a world where they're probably told that their culture is all about alcoholism, and if they just go on the media and not what they get from school. So actively undoing that, it can be as simple as using the original word. I know we must be running out of time.
1 minute.
So
1 minute, right.
Maybe we'll just, the last whakatauki, and then I'll let Nathan come up with something profound to create a myelin pathway, no, what is it? A neuro pathway that's going to last forever. Right. The last whakatauki we wanted to use, which is a really common one used for tuakana and taina, but to me it talks about that reciprocity and relationship really well. Ma te tuakana ka tōtika te taina, ma te taina ka tōtika te tuakana. This is actually not just around training mentors and supporting mentors, but actually seeing the relation, seeing the value of that reciprocal relationship. That is, the older sibling needs the younger sibling to keep them straight, and the younger one actually needs the older one to keep them on path as well. They work in unison. If we go back to this traditional kaupapa, we know that the next generation will be able to continue the awesome work and the amazing work that you guys do.
Is anyone watching that Why Am I, the Tuesday night program on the Dunedin Multidisciplinary Study?
Yep.
Who's watching that? Hands up. Well, the rest of you should watch it. Tuesday at 9:30 on TV1. It's all about all those people that were born in Dunedin in 1973 that have been followed all the way through their lives. Who's aware of that study, the Dunedin Multidisciplinary Study? About half of you. So for the other half, it's like really big and world famous, and they quote it in America, and it's got New Zealand lots of attention, and it basically shows that we can predict all of your outcomes from the age of three. You know, so it's saying that shocks people with things like we can work out who's going to be in prison by the statistics that we gather by at the age of three. One of the things that the Dunedin study has really contributed to the rest of the world is our understanding of self-control. So that's the message I wanted to leave you with. It sort of ties in with this idea of it being reciprocal, is that the number one factor that determines how well a child does in life, and there is no one factor that guarantees it, but our parents will spend a lot of time arguing, what is the single most important factor though? Is it how rich your parents are? Is it how educated your parents are? Is it, you know, what suburb you live in? There's a million things that affect your children's outcomes, but now we're living in an age where we can say in a sort of a research-based way, the number one biggest impact that you're gonna have is your ability to self-control. Comes from that original stuff on the marshmallow study. Most of you probably heard that marshmallow test, where you give the four-year-old a marshmallow and say, if you cannot eat this marshmallow for 15 minutes, when I come back, I'll give you two marshmallows. That was made famous in the 1960s, and Professor Michaud went back and found that when he did it, followed it up longitudinally, pretty much the kids that couldn't wait 15 minutes and shoved the the marshmallow straight in their gob before the lecturer had even left the room, by and large didn't have good outcomes. That led to higher rates of imprisonment and leaving school, and the kids who were able to self-regulate or self-control and not eat the marshmallow for 15 minutes and wait for the next person to come back and got two marshmallows, that was the single biggest predictor of who's going to be the most successful as an adult. More important than your IQ, more important than how rich your parents are, more important than how siblings you got, more important than anything else is the ability to self-control. So the message I want to leave you with that builds on that reciprocal stuff is within Tua Kanawatena, there is, like we keep saying, that idea of reciprocity. And I just went blank, what was I just saying?
Self-control.
Oh, that's self-control, yeah, but sorry. That the number one thing you can do for these children is to give them a voice and an ability to have some control over their own lives. Mm. What I'm saying is if we take them into a boot camp and lock them up and make them go to get up at 7 o'clock in the morning and go to bed at 10 o'clock at night and eat three meals a day and no drugs and alcohol, we can control them into being quite functional. You know, you put those kids into that program, go back 2 weeks later, you see a bunch of fine young men. But as soon as they leave the program, they go back to being dysfunctional. Because simply controlling other people doesn't lead to function. No. You've got to maybe do it for them and walk alongside them, but you've got to be handing over the reins of responsibility. So people talking to me when I come in the door this morning, talking about a group of kids that have been through one mentoring program and they're now leading the mentoring program for the next group of children. That's the sort of innovative practice that we want to see right across the board. That's the stuff that is really consistent with the newest research around what actually benefits our rangatahi.
Thank you.
Can you just
wait, and Scott.
And over to you.
Hannah, Nathan, thank you so much for getting up early and coming up from the mainland this morning to share this absolutely crucial wisdom that to succeed in mentoring relationships, we need to understand tradition, heritage, and we need to be up to date with the latest thinking. Thank you, both of you, for this incredible duo in sharing this with us.
Sure.
Nathan and Hannah will be with us for the rest of the day, and so please approach them with your questions. I'm going to have a look at Kate now in a very different light, since I'm all about self-control. Thank you very much, Nathan.